As you find your seats, we'll get into Romans chapter 1. As our elder Tom mentioned, the tapestry of God in the seasons, I see the same thing amongst God's people. As he beautifully weaves together different local assemblies, which are all part of his universal body, it's beautiful to see the unique and distinct parts of the local assembly and the universal body of Jesus Christ. And I think, as we get into the Word today, that the Apostle Paul recognized the same thing. I think that the Apostle Paul recognized that the church in Colossae is different than the church in Corinth, and the church in Corinth would be different than the church in Rome, and the church in Rome would be different than the church in Galatia. Yet, within that unique, distinct identity of the local assembly or local church, there was this beautiful piece of artwork that God had sovereignly and graciously woven together to create his universal body, in which he said, the gates of hell would not prevail against. And so I'm reminded that today and forever, as we continue to sojourn or travel through this world, let us pray, then we'll pick up in Romans chapter 1, verse 12. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be part of your artwork, your tapestry. You said we were created for your purpose and your pleasure. We thank you for that. God, reveal to those who are here today, or maybe watching or listening online, reveal to them who you are, what your purpose is for them. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and all of God's family said, amen. As we pick up in verse 12 this week of Romans chapter 1, let's remember what the apostle is saying to the Christians in Rome. He is saying, I want to see you. I pray that I'm able to come and see you. I make mention of you in my prayers always. God is my witness that I may give or impart some spiritual gift to you, that you would be established, grounded in the faith. He isn't fearful of the political climate or state. He isn't concerned about the Roman rule. He's trusting fully in the Lord. And so, keeping that in mind, as we get into verse 12 of Romans chapter 1, as I read it last week to finish, I'll read it again. Verse 11 says, for I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. I want to just pause there and look at just one verse, verse 12. Comforted together with you, mutual faith, both you and me. Paul recognizing this is a we thing. We're in this together. We are the body of Christ. You are the chosen of God. Yes, you're under Roman rule. Yes, you're in Rome. Yes, I haven't even physically met you yet. But we have a mutual faith. I'm comforted just by the faith, your faith spoken of throughout the world, while I'm here in Corinth, as he's writing in 57 AD. I can't wait to see you, that we can comfort one another with God's scriptures, with prayer, with fellowship. I long to see you as we do this together. I want to remind you of the climate of the day. And I must say, as I read this and as I prepare for this, I am greatly, greatly humbled, understanding the grace that was upon the life of the Apostle Paul, the calling that he had upon his life to the nations. As I said last week, to the obedience of the faith of all nations, for all nations. Emperor Nero is known for being one of the earliest and most notorious persecutors of Christians in ancient Rome. He is often depicted as the architect of early Christian martyrdom due to the brutal ways in which he sought to eliminate the fledgling religion. Nero's reign began in 54. Now, I must tell you this. I just discovered this week, and I was saddened. They use the term now CE, which we know as BC. BCE stands for before Common Era. CE stands for Common Era. I will now bow to that. Nero's reign began in 54 AD, and by 64 AD, the year of our Lord, a great fire broke out in Rome, destroying much of the city. Rumor spread that Nero himself had ordered the fire to be set to clear land for a new palace. To deflect blame, Nero accused the Christians of starting the fire. This marked the beginning of a wave of brutal persecution against Christians as Nero sought to scapegoat them for the disaster. Shortly after the fire, the hunt for the capital's Christians began. First, Nero had those who admitted to being Christians arrested, and on their statements, a large group of others were condemned. According to the historian, they were not only convicted of arson, but just as much for their hatred of man. The punishment was death. Nero wanted to show that he was a man of the people, so he made the executions a public spectacle. Their death was made into a sport. This is Christians, mind you, in Rome. Dressed in animal skins, they were torn to pieces by dogs or crucified. Other Christians were hung on poles and drenched in tar. At night, executioners lit the human torches so that they could light up the streets as the screams resounded and a sickening smell of burning flesh settled over Rome. Not even the Apostle Paul escaped. The old missionary was beheaded. According to legend, his head jumped 3 times over the ground when it was separated from his body, and with each jump, a spring miraculously sprang forth. Shortly afterward, the Apostle Peter was also executed in Rome under Nero's order. Now, let me just pause, because that is a tough pill to swallow. What amazes me and humbles me and challenges me and really, I pray, makes me weep is the fact that in the midst of Paul writing this, Nero was in charge, and yet this is never, ever mentioned in Scripture by the Apostle Paul. Never was any of this persecution mentioned. Never is Nero mentioned. Never is the risk mentioned by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because victory in God's kingdom comes through death of self, crucifixion of the flesh. Lose your life, then you shall find it. Set your affection on things above, not here below. Never. Greatly challenged by the times that the Apostle Paul was living in, he says in verse 13, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even amongst other Gentiles." Now I know that's wordy. That's King James. But he's saying this, "I haven't been allowed yet. God hasn't opened the door yet for me to come and see you. I desire to so that I can have some fruit." Other translations said, "so I can be partaker of the harvest of souls." See, Paul was always concerned about souls. He was always concerned about God's people. He was never influenced by the brutal Roman regime. I want to tell you this. I want to pause. I was greatly, greatly inspired by this church on Labor Day. 7 a.m. prayer, 7 p.m. prayer for the first time. I was greatly inspired and encouraged by those that came to pray. And maybe you noticed, if you're there, I'll take little notes. And what I'm doing is I'm writing down the prayers so I can look over them and pray again. And I got to tell you this, that one man in the 7 a.m. prayed that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities, spiritual wickedness, and high places. And when I came back at 7 p.m., another man who wasn't there at 7 a.m. prayed the same thing. And when I spoke to a brother who's going on to the crusade here soon, he said the same verse. And I got to tell you, God, when he says a scripture 3 times through 3 different holy vessels, you should pay attention. Paul knew the fight. Paul understood the battle, that he was not wrestling against Nero. He was not wrestling against what he could see. He was wrestling against the principalities and the spirits behind it. You and I are wrestling against the same principalities, the same spiritual wickedness in high places today in what we call the United States of America. You are not battling the Democrats. You are not battling the Republicans. You are not battling those that call themselves independents. You are not battling Kamala Harris. You are not battling Donald Trump. You are battling spiritual wickedness in high places. And as a soldier in the army of light, you fight the way the Apostle Paul was instructed to. Wasn't even on his agenda to mention Nero. He says, I make mention of you in my prayers always. I long to impart the spiritual things to you so you're equipped for the battle at hand. I long so we can share this mutual faith and encourage one another together. What about Nero, Paul? It's not what you can see. It's the spirit behind it. Did you know on my traditional stop now at Union Street Coffee House, stopped in to get my little spiced chai. And as I'm waiting, taking a little walk, and I see up and coming in Spencerport, New York, is the 9th annual Ghost Walk. Come out and hear stories, true and untrue, about your local ghosts and spirits that have. And I thought to myself, wow, thank you, Lord. What a beautiful object lesson for today's scripture, for today's sermon. That here in your own backyard, you have people that are bound by these principalities, these rulers of darkness, that are welcoming this type of spirit into this community, veiled in effluency because you look at the outward, but God sees the spirit realm, the supernatural. And that's what the Apostle Paul was focused and fixed on. Wasn't looking at the person, he was looking past into the spirit, knowing what the battle truly was about. We can't lose sight of the battle plan. You can't lose sight of the battle plan because of what you see. You know, somebody had a great idea, and we will do it. I will vote. I feel it's my responsibility horizontally. I will vote. But on the same day I will vote, I will pray here at this church. And you are welcome to join us. Because I believe, according to God's word, that's the best thing we can do come election day. And then we rest in God's sovereignty with the results. We're not broken. We're not defeated. If the candidate we did not expect or desire loses, we're not defeated. Why? Because our victory comes through the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ. Listen. He says, I want to have some fruit amongst you. God hasn't allowed me to come yet. Verse 14, I am debtor both to the Greeks, that's the learned people, that's the wise and sophisticated, and to the barbarians, that's the inner city folks, those that can't read, can't write. The filth of the world, as some view them as. Both to the wise and to the unwise. Listen to the Apostle Paul in the middle of all of this persecution. In the middle of it, he says, so as much as is in me, I am ready. What are you ready for, Paul? I am ready to do what? To preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Really? Yes. Circumstance doesn't move me. That doesn't move my position in Christ. None of these things move me. Presidential elections don't move me. Turbulence doesn't move me. Family conditions don't move me. Relationships don't move me. Because I'm rooted and grounded in Christ, I know my purpose. He never veered from the battle plan. He says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. He was listening. He was listening to the God that saved him. He understood what his purpose was. And we ought to know the same. He says, I'm ready to preach the gospel. What is the gospel? What is it? Well, for those of you, handful that came to the event, Jim and Alice, a few others, Bob, Brian, those of you that came last week, you're going to hear it again because this blows me away. Gospel, the Greek term is euangelion. It's a military or battle term in which a messenger is sent back to a city to tell those at the city the war has been won. You and I are called. If you want to know what your purpose is today, I'm going to tell you according to God's holy word what your purpose is today. First purpose, to know the one that created you, to be saved by the shed blood of Jesus Christ when you put your faith, hope, and trust in that work that's been finished. That's your purpose, to know the God that made you in His image, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Then, God's will is that you would be a messenger of the euangelion, that you would tell others the battle has been won. You would go back to your neighbors and tell them the battle has been won. That you would go to your communities and tell them the battle has been won. That you would go to the nations and tell them the battle has been won. Jesus Christ is not president, He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. There is none higher. That the name that saves is Jesus. God is salvation. That's your purpose, friend. That's your purpose, if you claim the name of Christ. Now, some of you are thinking this. Here we go. Here goes good old Evangelist Dom again. This is what the Scripture's speaking of, and when the Scripture speaks of it, I have to preach it. And you and I should never get tired of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because yes, it is very simple, but it's also very profound, studied into eternity. And the Apostle Paul hazarded his life for the sake of the euangelion, the same way the other apostles did. And all of them, except for the Apostle John, were martyred for it. And through that martyrdom, many came in to the kingdom of God. Because in the kingdom of God, it's death that brings life. Not the other way around. You see, if you go to a church, and the fact that you're here is extremely humbling. I am so honored and blessed. I'm sure I could speak for the elders. But let me tell you this, if you go to another church, whatever church they may be, visit, whatever the case, and people are telling you how great you are, God has a great purpose for your life to be this and be that, please tread carefully. Please walk carefully on that garbage, forgive me. Because these guys lived in prosperity, and the prosperity of the Apostle Paul was, I want to give unto you a spiritual gift. I want to share the mutual faith we have together. Not you're going to get healthy, wealthy, and wise. And if you are healthy and wealthy and wise, you are like a Greek, it's time for you to share that health, wealth, and your wisdom with others in the body of Christ. Stop hanging on to it. Because there's literal terms and spiritual terms in the Scriptures. Whatever God has given you belongs to Him. Your money, it's His. Your home, it's His. Your career, He gave it to you. It all belongs to Him. That's what it means to be Lord, Master, not just Savior. Lord, that's what it means. That's what the Apostle Paul understood. Now you know this next verse. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I am not ashamed of the euangelion of Christ. For it is the power. It's the dunamis. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Meaning it went to the Jews first. It was for the Jews they rejected. Went unto the Gentile, like the Apostle Paul was called to go to the Gentile. Peter called to the Jews. I want to read you this account that I've entitled Ashamed and Afraid. You love Aunt Susie. She's very close to you. She's truly dear to you. Aunt Susie has seen a dramatic change in you over the years. She even alludes to it at times. And you simply say, thanks, Aunt Susie. But they do not know what it is or who's responsible for it. You've never even mentioned Jesus to Aunt Susie. Time passes on. You really want to talk about Jesus, but you're scared. You pray for Aunt Susie regularly. You even pray someone shares the gospel with them. More time passes. Now you figure you'll just continue to show them the love of God. You bring over meals. You're there whenever Aunt Susie needs you. But never once, after years have passed, have you shared your newfound faith in Jesus Christ. Suddenly, you're ready. The day arrives. You responded to the burden you felt for years. You're on your way to Aunt Susie's. You have a great joy and excitement. You've even rehearsed in your mind what you're going to say about Jesus. But as you arrive, there's an ambulance there. Police officers are blocking the entrance of the home. Your heart drops. You get to the doorway and you ask in a panic state, what has happened? The police officer says, we're so sorry, Susie has passed. With brokenness and despair, you fall to the ground and begin to weep. Is that your story? That's fictional, by the way. I know I was very emotional over it, but I just, hopefully, divinely inspired, just wrote that. If you know an Aunt Susie, then you got to take that as God. I just made up the name, just so you know. But the account's very true. The account is very true. Of many of us, ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, ashamed of the one that bled for us, ashamed of the one, the crown of thorns was put on his head, his back was ripped open, and you don't believe it because you're ashamed of it to share it with anyone else. And meanwhile, they're on their way to hell. The gospel, the euangelion, is a word spoken ministry. It's the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, the Jew first and also the Greek, the wise and the unwise, the barbarian, the lowest of the low, the highest of the high. Listen to the Apostle Paul's heart. Listen to what he says about his own people in Romans chapter 9. It says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. That was the Apostle Paul's heart about his people, the Jewish people, born a Jew. Tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, circumcised the eighth day. Touching the law of Pharisee, he says. He says, God, I'll trade my soul for theirs if you would just save them. You need to ask for a holy burden from God for souls. And let me tell you what. I want to praise my Lord and Savior today because since this morning, when I got up at 5:40 a.m., I was sharing this with Brother Andy in the back. God just has me crushed. And I realized something. As those tears flow all morning long, that's a work of God. You know, someone told me last week, and I was just so inspired, challenged over this. There was a person here, I won't embarrass them, that last week had an opportunity to minister to. And I actually did lead them in prayer, led them in a sinner's prayer. First time since I've been here. They're back here today, you'll have to figure out who it is. Now, don't get distracted the rest of the service. But let me tell you something. The joy in that moment is unspeakable. Absolutely unspeakable. As you see tears flow down the person's eyes and you feel, you sense the presence of the Holy Spirit. And there was a guy who said to me, every time I hear about somebody getting saved, I weep. I was like, man, I want that soul. God, give me that soul. Give me that. I can't produce that. Give me that. Let me weep over. Let me have a tears of joy for somebody who's coming to the kingdom. Maybe this morning he answered it. I don't know. I was just crushed. And I thank God for that. Because I can't manufacture it. I can't make myself cry for a soul. There's no such thing as crocodile tears in the kingdom. You got to pray. Say, God, just please grant me a heart. Grant me a spirit that just has a burden for this community, for Spencerport, for my neighbors, for my aunts and uncles that I know are perishing. They're lost. They need to know the truth. We have one more verse. He says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. It begins with faith. You walk by faith. When you cross the finish line, guess how? By faith. Listen to the Apostle Paul as he speaks to the church at Corinth. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:28, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Please, church, please don't try to replace that with object lessons and stories and everything else that will send people straight to hell. It's the preaching of the cross. It's the gospel. It's the euangelion that God still uses to save souls. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. How will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they're sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who share the gospel of peace. Why? If you looked at my feet, you would be scared. I have a toe that's... I don't want to get into it. It's a spiritual... He's speaking in spiritual terms. You have beautiful feet just because you go. Because God said go and you go like the Apostle Paul. You don't have to go very far. I know there's people here that went to their neighbors. Say, how do you know? I went to the prayer meeting. There's people that went to family members. How do you know? I went to the prayer meeting. I got to be comforted together. I got to share the mutual faith together with this local church body. Do you remember the heart of God? Looking at his people. Jerusalem. Jerusalem. You who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you. How I desire to gather your children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under the wings. You would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Desolate. You would not. There's so many people that Jesus is calling, weeping over Jerusalem. They will not. And our job, our part, our purpose is to deliver the euangelion. That's what it is. To tell them the victory is yours. You saw this, some of you took it. I ordered these for the crusade, but this is my new in-season evangelism tool. It's a penny with a cross. And I've been handing them out. I put some on the table back there. If you want them, I have them. It's just a reminder that the victory's here. I was listening to WYSL this morning, and that old Rugged Cross song came on. Can't get away from the cross. You cannot get away from the cross. Oh, yes, it's foolishness to those that perish. But to us that believe, it's the power of God. I just heard this morning, never say when you're closing, but I'm going to say it in closing. One last quick testimony. I was teaching a class at Roberts yesterday, CPR class. I didn't really want to go. I was like, man, let me get another instructor. I want to go, you know, see my kid's soccer. I don't really want to go. But I know a guy was telling me you got to go. I go, very small class. There's one young man that comes for the second section. We're walking. I said, you need help with your stuff? He said, sure, I'll take some help. We walk out. I gave these to the four other students, so I'm going to give one to him. I walk. I said, hey, are you a Christian? He goes, no, I'm not. He's at a Christian college. He says, no, I'm not. So really, I said, what do you believe? He goes, I believe in science. That's great. Really, that's great. I said, well, can I talk to you for a moment? He said, sure. I said, well, take a look. Went right to Romans. It's coming up. Do you feel the wind right now? You see the trees? See the sun, the blue sky? God says that the visible things are evidence of the invisible Godhead. I didn't say it with this much passion, by the way. He would have got scared. But he kept listening. His name's Garrett. Kept listening. He's on the lacrosse team. And I said, now the question is, who is God? Let me go to John 1 now. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. He's the second person of the Trinity. And the cross is the reason you and I now have opportunity to inherit eternal life by faith. By His sacrifice, by His death. And He's fixated on me. And I'm asking Him, does this make sense? He says, yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. And he's listening. Why? Because faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. I didn't take out some fancy object lesson and get in a boat on the stage and get everybody all excited. I just shared the gospel with them. And this is what he said at the end. I almost fell out of my seat. Hey, can I have your number? Absolutely, man. Call anytime. Just so you know, I'm pastoring over at Spenceport Bible. You're welcome at 10:45. Now, he's not here today. But I'd much rather have him come in to the universal body of Christ, the kingdom of heaven, then come to Spencerport Bible Church. If he comes, that's just a bonus. I'm going to read this, and then we'll pray. The church of Jesus Christ, the church was not purchased by the precious blood of Jesus to be incubated, isolated, or inactive. The heart of God, the heart of the Father, is to preach the gospel, the euangelion, to a lost and dying world to give the answer they have been so desperately searching for. To put a lifeline before them to say, choose this day who you will serve. The church is a living, breathing, full of eternal hope, life, and love of a living God, a risen Savior who conquered the grave. And you and I are the messengers of the euangelion. We serve a King, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Let us pray. And we'll continue in chapter 1 next week. I pray that you are encouraged, challenged, all the things that the Word of God and the Holy Spirit do. Again, if you want, some of these are on the back. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, well, this guy is whatever you're thinking. Can I just tell you before we end, I have failed many, many, many times. I have not shared the good news of Jesus Christ with people when I felt a heavy burden to. God is a God of second chances. When I fail in that area, usually I'll pray. All right, God, strike one, throw me a pitch again. But some of you have not swung the bat. You don't swing the bat. You're watching every pitch come by. Strike, strike, strike. You're out. One thing you can't do in heaven, share the euangelion. That's one thing you cannot do in heaven. Because God designed you to go now. Today is the day of salvation. Choose this day who you'll serve. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. There has to be an urgency that we have for souls. And for those of you who are called, once you come to know Christ, to disciple, shepherd, teach, do it with as much passion and zeal. Because now those people who have been lost are found. And they need to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. They need to grow in the understanding of Scripture. They need to be established. That's what Paul was talking about. They need to be established in the Scriptures. They need to be shown the love of God. They need to have an example for them. Preach the gospel, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Father, we thank you for this opportunity today. We thank you that you are the God that saves to the uttermost. We thank you that we have an opportunity while we're here, such a short time, God, such a brief time, to share this message of eternal life, eternal hope, that through the death and suffering of our Messiah, the opportunity for eternal life, the message can be given to a lost and dying world. Help us, empower us, break our hearts for those that know not you. Empower us to teach those that do. In Jesus' name, in all of God's precious bride, said amen. God bless you.